This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Well, we turn our attention now to a deadly, serious issue. Timothy Kaufman, 66, was a former social worker who in his retirement years had taken to recycling to keep busy and help pay his rent. Kaufman was African-American, which made him a target for his professed killer, who stabbed him to death with a sword, a white supremacist who admitted traveling to New York City from Baltimore to kill a black man because New York is the media capital of the world. The killing of Timothy Kaufman was a hate crime and an act of terrorism. We should also think of it as a lynching, the latest episode in an American form of racial violence that stretches back to the 19th century. To describe this attack as a lynching is to emphasize the reality of anti-black violence, its persistence through time, and the way in which it's justified and the failure of our society to fully excavate our past to wrestle with the present. By understanding Timothy Kaufman's murder as a lynching, we gain clarity into how racial violence it's more than hate. It's meant to enforce racial caste by making an example of any unfortunate person of African ancestry who circumstantially crosses the path of the white supremacist. We must understand Timothy Kaufman's murder as a modern lynching, for we have yet to understand and grapple with the legacy of racial oppression and its current manifestations as a society. To call Timothy Kaufman's murder an act of terrorism is also to recontextualize the age of lynching as an earlier age of terrorism, forgotten by most, but whose wounds still fester and which scars remain etched on the collective memories of African Americans. And there is a political context for white supremacy and white nationalism flaring anew. Donald Trump has yet to comment on the extraordinary murder of Timothy Kaufman, issue condolences to his family, or condemn the act of terror. He did choose to relate to and send a message of condolence about an American victim of terrorism in London, though. Trump never condemned the January shooting at a Quebec mosque that took 6 lives, and it took him a week to condemn the killing of an Indian computer engineer in Kansas, Jacques Hughes. Black Lives Matter. Timothy Kaufman's death renews the challenge for us to tear out root and branch the cultural, social, economic, and political systemic manifestations of racism and the roadblocks to opportunity and equality. Say his name, Timothy Kaufman.
We're in Union Square with a number of people who are activists, and I know in other contexts as well. But here we have what is clearly a terror campaign of white supremacy, which has certainly not been denounced or spoken about as such. And I wonder about your thoughts as you come to Union Square to protest. What do you say to the government of the city? What do we tell people about what is not happening in response to the rise of white supremacy, and in this specific instance, a terror attack that took a man's life from the African American community?
As a Muslim New Yorker, I think that the city needs to be very specific in how they're protecting New Yorkers, and particularly people of color, immigrants, and black people from white supremacists. This man came from Maryland with a mission, and his mission was to kill black people, and he at least semi succeeded by killing one innocent black man that does not deserve to die. So I'd like to hear from my city government, what exactly are they doing to protect us from people like this that are committing terror across the country? Because when we talk about terrorism, we always mean only one kind of terrorist, and we're not being very clear that terrorism could be people of any race, of any background.
And I can't help but mention, as you're well aware, there's a demonstration right across the street in front of Best Buy about Hewlett Packard and the problem of the Palestinian people and Palestinian political prisoners. Any thoughts on that as well?
I think this movement right now is a global movement of justice that stands up for the rights of all people, including Palestinians and Palestine. So I'm grateful to be part of this multiracial, multiethnic, and multinational movement.
And we're speaking to?
Linda Sarsour with the Women's March on Washington.
Thank you. Similarly, since I remember standing not too far from you at the Women's March in Washington, so here we are again, and here we are, as well we should be, protesting over this terror attack, which is premised on white supremacy. Your thoughts about where we go from here, rather than being just reactive. What is the kind of movement that we have to insist on to respond to the rise of supremacist white nationalist attacks that have clearly been triggered by the Trump candidacy and presidency, but are rooted deep within our society?
First of all, it's important to recognize and bring awareness to the issue. I think oftentimes we don't necessarily know that this is happening because we're not labeling a terrorist attack, right? We're not saying it is something that is done in our own land by white people. And so for us, it's making sure that January 21st was an opportunity for people to get involved, people who hadn't been involved for so long, right? So many hadn't marched in 10 years, and then people then came together. But right now what we're seeing is we're seeing people show up, and that's the first part, is we need people to show up for one another. We've been seeing the killings of black men in this country for decades, and now the fact that we have people that are outraged at the fact that this white supremacist came to New York because he wanted media attention, and we're not going to say his name, but we're going to say Timothy's name, because he was a man who had dignity, who wanted something better for himself. And so for him to be a target of this hate crime, we need to label that, we need to name that, and we need to hold our government accountable for creating this. Number 45 created this. And so we are standing here saying no more. We are not going to have it. There's not going to be any hate coming to our city, because we're going to come together, we're going to name it, and we're going to stop it from happening again.
I must also say that we just received information that there's a withdrawal of the vote by the Ryan Trump juggernaut on the Health Care Act. It's being withdrawn. Any thoughts about where we are in terms of the resistance to the Trump administration?
Well, I have to tell people, keep on resisting. We need you out every single day. What we are doing, it's working, right? It's working because they don't have their stuff together. They don't know what they're doing inside Washington. They don't know what they're doing. And so we need people to show up every single day. And the resistance is working because people are resisting.
And you are?
My name is Carmen Perez. I'm with the Women's March on Washington and Justice League NYC. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the extraordinary work you did to build the March on Washington for Women. First of all, these extraordinary signs. So let's say the brother's name and who made the signs.
No, who made the signs? Somebody from Working Families Party made the sign.
And we're going to say his name?
Timothy Kaufman.
Why are you carrying these signs? What brings you here today? And what would you like to see accomplished as part of an ongoing process to respond to these catastrophic instances of white supremacy, of white nationalism, of hate, of bigotry, of discrimination?
I'm going to echo a little bit what Carmen said and also Linda. I'm a professor of identity and discrimination in the U.S. at Rutgers. And what I like to tell my students is that race is socially constructed. It was from the very beginning of our society. And so that means lexicon is very important. I'm here because we have to give voice to the fact that white supremacy, also known as terrorism, is something that we should get, and by we I mean civil society, we should get used to using those terms and associating those with hate, because that's the history of the United States, right? And until we're ready to accept that the way we label things, the way we talk about people, the way we demonize the victim in this case, in every case, when there's white terrorism and black victims, is unacceptable and it's not the truth. So I'm here for my students so that they can see me, hear me, stand for these things that I tell them in class, right? Which is what's going to make the future better if we can get the kids to understand the history that's connected to language and the way we describe events like this, then I think we can be better.
And Professor, you are?
I'm Professor Tamara Lee, Assistant Professor at Rutgers University.
And another sister here with the same sign who was nodding her head as a number of people spoke. And nodding your head in agreement, what does the agreement constitute?
I'm here on behalf of the Gathering for Justice and Justice League NYC, and I'm also a white person, and I feel that my responsibility in this climate, as my responsibility has always been as a woman of conscience, as a person of conscience, is to fight for people who are oppressed, to fight against tyranny, to fight against oppression of all kinds, against anybody. As we say a lot in Justice League, your liberation is bound in mine. So we turn out for Black Lives Matter, we turn out for Muslims against a Muslim ban, we turn out when people are oppressed, and when liberty and equality is taken from people. In this particular case, it's hard to even talk about the fact that a person could be educated in our own society to come to my city and to kill black people, and that they feel emboldened by what's happening in Washington, that they feel emboldened by rhetoric that's coming out of our own government, is so sickening to me. I mean, against everything I believe about humanity, that I had to be here. I have to show up. I have to keep showing up. I have to keep resisting. And I need to educate my white brothers and sisters and my family members and my community and my neighbors that we have to stop this. We have to stop white supremacy. We have to stop asking impacted people to be the first line against their own oppression. We need other people to take the front line against oppression. That's why I'm
here. Let me also ask you this. Are there other things that the city government should be doing? There'll be a prosecution. That's standard fare. Interestingly enough, as we look at the terror of what happened in Great Britain, we do not describe this in terms of we, meaning certainly the government, as a terror attack. And yet it's a self-described, self-proclaimed white supremacist who came here to cast terror upon African-American men in particular. So are there things that you think that the de Blasio administration, that our government in a liberal city of New York is not doing to really send the message that this is not tolerable, that it will be prosecuted? I mean, there have been general statements, but nothing that has really rallied the populace or said, we've got a lot of uneducated people out there who hold backward ideas. What are we going to do to infiltrate their consciousness and improve their sensitivities?
To be honest, I think a lot of this starts with police brutality. For more than 2 years now, we've been occupying these streets on behalf of the death of Eric Garner, looking for justice for Eric Garner. And when that happened, when we started on December 3rd in this city, our mayor, who previously before being elected was on the streets with us trying to stop stop and frisk, you know, broken windows killed Eric Garner. Broken windows is stop and frisk. So our system of government killed Eric Garner. Our police system killed Eric Garner, and our mayor was embarrassed by us. He was afraid of the police commissioner. He was afraid of the PBA, of the head of the PBA, and he didn't stand with the people when he could have. And if he had, December 3rd, 2014, if he had stood with the people, if he had been in the front lines with us, marching for Eric Garner and marching for justice for Eric Garner, or firing Daniel Pantaleo, maybe we wouldn't have a society where people think of black people and brown people as the enemy. These things are all connected. That's where I think Mayor de Blasio failed. He failed us 2 years ago. He failed us 2.5 years ago when he refused to stand up for people of color in this city. So he's part of the problem. And I think now he has an opportunity to do something, but he's going to have to work really, really hard. And it can't just be in front of the cameras when he's mad at Donald Trump. He has to be here with us now, because what happened in this city is a travesty. And it's not just for the cameras. He should be here with the people. So.
And I'm speaking with?
Julianne Hoffenberg, Director of Operations, The Gathering for Justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All across NYC! All across NYC! Resist white supremacy! Resist white supremacy! All across NYC! All across NYC! Resist white supremacy! 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 Say his name! Timothy Kaufman! Say his name! Timothy Kaufman!
Baltimore.
To New York City.
To New York City.
To our city.
To our city.
To kill.
To kill.
Black people.
Black people.
He killed.
He killed.
Timothy.
Timothy.
We will not.
We will not.
Say this man's name.
Say this man's name.
Because he wants to be known.
Because he wants to be known.
Instead.
Instead.
We will say.
We will say.
Timothy's name.
Timothy's name.
And make sure.
And make sure.
No one.
No one.
Ever.
Ever.
Forget.
Forget.
Timothy. No one.
No one.
Ever.
Ever.
Forget.
Forget.
Timothy.
Timothy.
We're going to have.
We're going to have.
Roy.
Roy.
Waterman.
Waterman.
From Drive Change.
Speak to us.
Thank you. So once again, we're here. Once again, we don't see outrage. We do not see the same type of outrage back in 2014 when we had someone that drove from Baltimore, that drove to the Brooklyn, New York, to assassinate two officers. There was a lot of outrage. How is a terrorist attack? How it was doing us and showing how we are as a country, as a city, how we unified around these officers. What we're saying today, that Black Lives Matter.
Right.
What we're saying today, that the same outcry that was given for those officers need to be given for Timothy Kaufman. Say his name.
Timothy Kaufman.
Say his name.
Timothy Kaufman.
Say his name.
Timothy Kaufman.
So we are out here to let the government, elected officials, and anyone else know that we will not tolerate another second, another minute of white supremacists, of terrorists going on in our country against people of color. We know we're living some trying times, but we have to come together and unify on one accord, on one voice. Say his name.
Timothy Kaufman.
Say his name.
Timothy Kaufman.
Under attack, what do we do?
Stand up
like that. Black people are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that.
People of color under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that.
Black people are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that.
My name is Jason Walker, and I'm an organizer at Vocal New York. It's a little difficult for me to be here today. I do a lot of organizing in low-income communities of color, but I never had to speak on behalf of a person who's been killed by the hands of a white supremacist, of a racist. It's a little hard for me up here today, so bear with me. I want you to know that he was targeted because he was a person of color. He was a black man. He was targeted because he was representing one of our most vulnerable communities, low-income black men, with a history of homelessness, right? This is an issue that is rooted in not only poverty, but racism, classism, and housing stability. He came up here intentionally because of the tone that has been set in this country. Donald Trump set a tone of white supremacy and nationalism, right? Said he's gonna make America great again, but for who? Is this the greatness that he talks about? Why did he choose New York City? Maybe it's because of the tone the NYPD sets up here. Unaccountability. We have set a tone in this country seeing the slain of black men being murdered not only by our judicial system, but it's also been endorsed by Donald Trump. And white folks now have felt encouraged and emboldened to take steps to target folks that look like me. Our American system is to blame. It's not just the person that plunged that knife into his black body. It is our whole American system, it is our country that is to blame. It is the New York Post that posted these stories that wanted to talk about his criminal history to demonize him again. Public lynching this black man. Not only was he murdered on the streets, but he was murdered again by the media. We have to address the systemic institutionalized racism that permeates this society. From everyone to this man who got on the bus up here, to the NYPD, to the Daily News, to this presidential administration. They all are to blame for setting this tone. They killed not only a brother, but a potential leader in my movement to end homelessness. I organized homeless folks living with not only HIV, but homeless folks who have been ignored by this society. He was one of my potential leaders in this revolution for housing. He was one of my potential leaders to make sure we can end this wealth inequality. And they took him away from us.
So here's a good brother who's been out on the front lines more than he should need to be out.
Now, I can't say more than I need to be. I have to be out here.
Well, why do you have to be out here today?
I have to be out here because, honestly, well, today we're talking about a man who actually came all the way from Baltimore to take a black man's life. So, really, I'm here because anytime any injustice is done, that's when I decide to show up. I take my cue from the Vanguard, honestly, the Panthers. So anytime we see any time injustice happens to our people, we have to make sure we're vigilant and make sure we represent ourselves. We have a lot of people that represent other races and other races that represent us, but if we don't represent ourselves, then honestly, what's the point? That's the way I feel. So I have myself here. We have Black Lives Matter New York, and we're here trying to see what's going on.
And what has to be done aside from constantly reacting to the blood of black and brown men and women, whether it's by individual citizens or whether it's by the government through their policing apparatus? What the hell needs to be done as far as you see it, Fishy?
I feel like, for one, we need to hold police accountable. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, bruh? I mean, he's from NYC, shut it down. We need to hold police accountable, and this is the reason why. One of the things that we're trying to do right now, with the organization I'm with, Black Lives Matter New York, we're trying to start a Black Lives Caucus, where we're trying to infiltrate the city council system. Like, we know how many votes it takes for city councils to get elected, so we're going to the youth, the 18 and up. People don't look at the 18 and up count. From 18 to 30, a lot of people don't pay attention to those votes. So we're trying to get to that demographic and actually reach city council and vote in our own people, as opposed to these people, like city council representatives. They actually can pass legislation for cops, and they can prosecute some of these cops, and when a lot of things are happening in our communities, they can take care of these things. So what we're trying to do with the Black Lives Caucus is vote in our own, and by going to the people, like I said, 18 and 30. A lot of people don't go, they don't count those votes. Those votes are considered like non-existent. Yet you, at 18 years old, over 180,000 people just became registered to vote at 18 years old. A lot of high school students. It only takes 30,000 votes in order to win a city council seat. So when you think about the numbers, 180,000 and 30,000, if we could target the youth, we can vote in our own people. So that's why, and we vote in our own people in city council, then we can actually really address the police brutality issues and take it right to the people like who are directly and responsible for our local communities. We can go right to their office and knock on the door. We voted for you. Why are we getting killed?
I know you identified with the Panthers. Tell us what about the Black Panther Party stimulates and excites you as a young person today.
The Panthers are the vanguard. They showed us the way that it needs to be done. Now, granted, COINTELPRO broke up the Panthers. COINTELPRO separated the Panthers and disseminated the Panthers, but they only did it because of the fact that they knew how powerful the Panthers were. They see how powerful the movement was, and they see how it galvanized people. We actually just taking the example from them, and at the same time learning from the mistakes that COINTELPRO did, learning from there. We still going to be under attack, and like I said, when Sister Kathleen Cleaver was speaking, some of us, we got to be ready to die for this. If you're not ready to die for it, if you're not ready to die for a revolution, never ready to die for your people, then honestly, it makes no sense for anybody to be out here anyway. Make sure that the energy is going in the right place and everybody's not saying, Whitey, the cracker, because it's not about that. Fred Hampton wasn't doing that. Fred Hampton was working with people. You have a lot of people that are working for us on both. Lynn Stewart just passed away. I was actually out here in 2010 with Lynn Stewart. I love Lynn Stewart. She's a white woman who works for us. That's the reason why I'm here. I want to see, for one, what the audience is looking like. I want to see what the atmosphere is looking like within the audience. And I want to see what the message that's being conveyed across is.
Well, you see, but you're the organizer, brother, and that's what you're going
to
get.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
And we've been speaking with?
Aries the Voice.
Thank you. It's good seeing you again.
Good seeing you again.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dream. Let it be that great strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog and mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today, despite the dream, beaten yet today, O pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world, while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turn, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I am the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore, and Poland's plain, and England's grassy lea, and torn from black Africa's strand, I came to build the homeland of the free. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be. The land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. America will be.
James Earl Jones reading Let America Be America Again by Langston Hughes.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.